Welcome. You have joined The Roads Ahead, a video webinar series hosted by Women on Money, a community organization hosting talks by women for women on topics that women care about. Today, we will discuss divorce and you, where to start and what it will cost. Our talk will last about 45 minutes. I am Kathleen Niemetz, a certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst. During our discussion today, we are presenting information rather than advice specific to individuals. We advise listeners to seek out professionals, whether they're accountants, attorneys, wealth planners, or others, for advice specific to their situation. I am joined in this discussion by two other professionals.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Willison. I'm a family law attorney here in Prescott. I've been an attorney for about 15 years, and we moved to Prescott from Phoenix in 2011. My practice is primarily divorce cases, custody cases, and I'm happy to be here.
Hi, everybody. My name is David Snyder. I'm a certified public accountant. I have an MBA and MIS, and I am an enrolled agent, which is like a CPA just for taxes. I moved here from Baltimore about 10 years ago. And I started my own business, and it's David A. Snyder CPA, PLLC, and I do taxes, business valuations, business plans, audits, reviews, compilations, including fighting the IRS, which is a terrible organization. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Let me ask a question just to get things rolling. In thinking over the cases you've handled in your professional careers, what would be the more challenging situation to resolve, David?
I had to deal with some high-level cases in terms of a divorce in the area, and it was very known. There were some activities that were going on that were not proper, and mostly that was somebody else doing that. I just had to kind of be part of that. That was high profile. So it was kind of very complicated also.
Stephanie?
Yeah. You know, for me, I definitely went to law school because that's how my brain works, is like an attorney, but lots of family law cases are really highly emotionally charged. People have been together a long time. They have children. I really end up trying to find the counselor part of counselor at law. And that's always a big challenge.
And then for myself, I think any cases involving children are more challenging for me. There's a lot more emotion. There's a lot more at stake. And it can prolong the resolution of a case. I deal with the money. I don't deal with the mental health aspects of what's going on with my clients, but I do recommend that they seek out professional care during that time just so that they can get to a neutral place in their minds about how to resolve the financial piece of a divorce. Sure. Stephanie, let's hear from you on the family law aspects of divorce. We're talking about how to get started and what it will cost. So what might be your conversation with the client on that topic?
Sure. So, I mean, the first thing I usually talk to people about is sort of busting the myths around divorce. So Arizona, like a lot of states now, is what's called a no-fault state. So what that means is that you don't have to tell the court or even honestly tell your lawyer why you're getting divorced. All we have to allege in a divorce case in Arizona is that the marriage is irretrievably broken. So as long as one person is willing to put that in their paperwork, you can get divorced in Arizona. So that's always the first step. And that tends to take a little bit of the pressure off of people that they don't have to tell all the intimate details or awful details of their case. It's really, particularly when there's no children involved, it's really about property and debt and alimony. Then the second thing is that Arizona is a community property state. And most people hear that, it's not always really clear what that means. And so a community property state just means that from the day you got married, that's the day the community began. So anything that came into one spouse or the other spouse's possession or ownership, regardless of how it's titled, is going to be community property with just a couple of small exceptions, such as an inheritance. And so lots of times my clients get very caught up on, well, this car is titled in this name and this credit card doesn't have my name on it. And the thing that everybody has to get in their mind is that titling, for the most part, doesn't really matter. So if you bought the car during the marriage, it's community property, and community property is to be divided equitably or fairly, which means as close to equal as possible. So then the second thing that is important to know is that you're not entitled to a lawyer. So this isn't like when you're charged with a crime and you're entitled to a lawyer, even at the cost of the state. In the divorce, if you want to proceed without a lawyer, you can. And people do all the time. I think the statistics in Yavapai County, where we are, is something like close to 50% of cases proceed without an attorney. The pitfall in going on your own is that a couple months down the road, you very well may be in an attorney's office because you made some mistakes. And so I do end up kind of cleaning up messes that people have made without an attorney, because it's definitely simpler to do everything correctly from the beginning. And that's, you know, I think that's where it can be important to have a lawyer. So the last main thing I would say is, before you even get ready to file, you want to go ahead and think ahead and start to gather information, because we can't divide up what we don't know and what we don't know the value of. So doing things like running your credit report to make sure you know every credit account that has your name on it. And you want to start thinking about how you're going to protect assets. It may be time to look at your joint checking account and, you know, move part of that into a sole account so that the other party doesn't wipe everything out. I would never advise taking more than 50% of an asset. That could look like fraud. But certainly, especially if you have concerns about your spouse cutting you off, that's something you could do. And the last thing I would say is that as soon as you file, there's going to be a court order against you called the preliminary injunction. And so as soon as that goes into effect, you can't move or dispose of or sell items of community property or accounts or anything like that. You also can't cancel your spouse off of insurance or really make any major financial changes. So anything that needs to get done, you probably want to think about doing that, and definitely talk to an attorney about your specific situation. But you probably want to think about doing that before you file. So that's where I would start, Kathleen.
Hey, David, let's talk about tax.
Right. So usually when, by the time I see the client, or, you know, the clients, I guess, as they split up, usually it's a lawyer that's already, the attorney that's already seen them, and they've talked to them about their side of the thing. And when we get together, I try to encourage them to file together the first year of divorce. So if, say, they get divorced or they're splitting up in October of the year, then they have plenty of time to be together for that year. So they would file together as a joint return, and then the next year they would file as single, or the other statuses that they could file as, like, head of household for the person that has a child, if they have children. And the CPA really can't take sides or keep confidence between the parties. We don't have that privilege. I don't really tend to talk to people about each other's situation. I can't really keep that confidence if I'm asked a direct question. But I always try to encourage, I mean, if there's a business involved of one of the parties in the split, in the divorce, then I would encourage there to be a business valuation done on that business. And that's something that I can do. I used to have a CVA, which is a certified valuation analyst. And I encourage the business evaluation so that they can determine the value of the business and like Stephanie was saying, the community property designation. So even if one person was 100% in, the other person was not in at all, it's still community property. So I encourage business valuation. Basically, we do a business valuation to determine the value and then going forward of the business. And if that is a big stake in the partnership before they break up in the relationship, then that is a large asset that they would have to split up as part of the community property estate and as well as the people's assets, essentially. So I really encourage that. I really think it's a good idea for businesses to be valued. Now, it's not like if they own buildings together, that would be a different situation. That would be use somebody that can value the property. But in terms of the business, that would be me, or some other CPAs can do that. But basically, they don't have a lot of people don't have the certified valuation analyst credential like I do.
That's great. Great food for thought there. So when I get started in a case working with clients, sometimes it's one client, sometimes it's both of them. It depends if I'm asked to be a neutral or asked to be an advocate. But it all starts the same way. It's documentation and completion of forms, financial disclosures, documenting what accounts exist, what liabilities exist, what deeds exist, and if people are not aware what they have or where the documents might be, then they start a process where they're hunting down all of this data, which they will need. It saves everybody time. It saves billing time. So in terms of managing the cost of divorce, a lot of times the clients are in control of that. If they can cut down the amount of work they're asking their professionals to do by preparing some of this data to bring into the conversation. So there's documentation that's necessary. And part of it boils down to distilling what's there into net worth and cash flow. Nobody in my profession wants to start dealing with bags of receipts. And I'm sure a tax preparer doesn't want to see a bag of receipts when they're doing a tax filing. So it's all preferable if that can be put into spreadsheets and we can look at a monthly cash flow currently as well as what it might look like once there's a complete separation of households. And credit management. I have a lot of discussion with my clients about what situation they're currently in as far as credit and debt and who owns what in that and what might be separate property versus community property. And sometimes there's a gray area to define what's shared and what's completely separate. And this just begins the discussion and clarifies the discussion they may have with an attorney. I don't practice law. I simply clarify where everybody stands so they know what they have to share. And potentially they can decide whether they want, in their discussions with their attorneys, if they're going to pursue a 50-50 split or something different. And a lot of times those parameters come down to decisions around children or on things that happened earlier in life. Maybe somebody paid off student loans, and so the other parties are resolving the imbalance by allowing one to take more assets than the other. There's all kinds of things that go on in these discussions. So that's where I come in. And sometimes I sit at the table when there's a mediation and people want to turn to me and say, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? But that I'm a neutral, or if I'm an advocate, it's with the permission of the other party. So again, this is a discussion to have with the attorney as to what type of process looks like the best fit. And so that kind of leads into the cost discussion, because there's a price tag for everything we do, and the longer it takes to resolve a case, of course, the more expensive the process. And of course, there's also some issues to consider about what gets resolved, because maybe there's things that do need to be resolved and an attorney needs to take the time to resolve the matters so that the couple's not going back into court within just a couple of years to try to change the spousal support order and that kind of thing. So with that, I'm going to just throw it open and see, for instance, Stephanie, if you want to talk about the costs associated with divorce and how you might counsel people there.
Sure. So there's some basic fees that everybody has to pay, and that's just what you pay to the clerk of the court. Both sides have to pay that. It's, if there's children, it's a little bit more. It's around $230 if you don't have kids, and I think it's $280 if you do. And those, of course, are only minor children that the court has to deal with, not if you have grown children. Then it, I would have to take the attorney stance of it depends. And, you know, every attorney structures things a little bit differently. I would say that your costs are definitely reduced if you guys can agree on some things. The more you can agree on, usually the less it costs. I would say that in the Prescott area, you're going to be looking at somewhere between $3,000 and $8,000 to get started, depending on how contested things are and which attorney you're dealing with. And then it can go up from there, but definitely talk to your attorney about ways you can reduce those costs. And different attorneys structure things differently. So some attorneys maybe will bill you hourly. That's very common. Other attorneys, like me, will give you a flat fee for a certain amount of work and basically say that, you know, it'll be this cost up to this point in the litigation. And then if we have to go further than that, then the cost would go up. But definitely it's worth looking into. I know attorneys work pretty hard to try to be flexible with people. We know this is a lot of money. And I know that some attorneys can offer payment plans, or even like I can offer in-house, or it's actually out-of-house financing through a third-party company to try to help you spread out the cost of the legal fees. But it kind of goes back to what I said, where before you file, if there is, you know, some liquid funds somewhere, it is reasonable for you to take half of those for your living expenses and for your attorney's fees.
David, cost of divorce, do you have any comments there?
Well, generally, splitting the tax return between the two, we do tax returns generally from about $180 to about $720. Depending on the complexity of the tax return, how much, you know, if they have any properties, that sort of thing. Schedule E, Schedule C. Schedule C is business, and Schedule E is rental properties. So it really kind of depends on that. So if they split up, then there's still going to be charges. There's going to be that, it's not going to split up the 180 or the 720. It might split up, each might be 180 or 720. So depending on who owns what. And then, so that's tax returns. Now, when I do a business valuation for somebody, I really have two choices. I do a full-on business valuation for $7,200. And that includes everything, including all the demographics of the area, everything related to a business valuation. Or I did a limited scope business valuation for $240 an hour. Generally, I do those take about 10 hours or so. And it's just, you know, I have a lot of experience in doing tax returns and business valuations, so I can do those at high level. Now, in terms of, you know, anything else, sometimes I've been involved in where there's people splitting up and they do fraud investigations. So I happen to have a colleague that has that credential. So that would be depending on her. I generally do a lot of the work, but she has a credential for that. Various other expenses that might come up depending on what needs to be done, due diligence or anything like that. Like I've done due diligence when somebody was moving here and for a business. So, but if there's any due diligence, generally I charge that at, you know, anywhere from $180 to $240 an hour for that. So if there's any anything outside that scope, then we can discuss it.
Yeah, I just realized I didn't really talk about my fees. Some people want to know from the get-go how much I charge per hour. It's usually $300 an hour, and I usually am able to run a financial plan scenario based on a marital settlement proposal to see how people end up maybe 10 years out, how fair it might be, how it plays out. And that helps them gel their acceptance or maybe their discussion with their attorney about whether it's an acceptable offer or not. And so that's my contribution, in addition to just clarifying, organizing financial documents and clarifying what the financial issues might be. And from on that point, I wanted to be sure before we part ways with our listeners that we leave them with our ideas for maybe the top do's and don'ts. Maybe we have three each. So, Stephanie, do you want to start that discussion? Maybe the top do's and don'ts you might advise people?
Sure. Do imagine that everything you text, email, or say to your soon-to-be ex is going to be heard by the judge. So this is something that people don't necessarily realize, that because Arizona's a one-party recording state, you can be recorded by another person in the conversation and they don't have to tell you that. So that's going to be more for custody cases, but you definitely want to text like the judge is standing over your shoulder. So, and then that kind of leads into my second one, which is try to, when it comes to the legal side of things, try to reduce your relationship down to a business relationship. So really try to focus on working things out in a professional way, especially again, if you have kids, because this really helps you to get into that co-parenting mindset. And I guess as far as don'ts go, I would say the biggest thing is don't be afraid of your own finances. Lots of times I'm representing a spouse who wasn't the one in charge of the finances and is really kind of afraid to dig in there and look at statements and figure out what things are. But like I said, we can't divide up what we don't know. And so for people who struggle with finances or just don't have any experience with it, don't be afraid to get in there and learn about where you are financially.
I want to latch on to what Stephanie said about making it a business relationship. It's better if there's a kind of a consensus somewhat going in, because this is emotionally and financially, I mean, it's a struggle to get through. And so if you go in trying to bash or crush the other person, especially if you have kids, it's only going to hurt both of you, as well as the kids. So I think it should be, you make the relationship kind of a win-win in terms of the breakup, kind of, you know, you can't live with that person anymore, but at the same time, you might have kids together. So the parent, each other is the parents of their child. So take it to that respect and show somewhat respect and come to some sort of consensus and work together to split up, but remain somewhat on friendly terms and don't crush each other.
So building on what you're both saying, I think building consensus is really important. There's always going to be something that is not black and white or not agreed to by both sides, but set that aside for the moment and focus on what you do agree about, because that's going to save time working with the lawyers and the CPAs and other people in your case. And then just reserve those issues that where you don't agree for the more extended conversations and time spent for analysis. And I would also say leave vengeance behind. If you're the wrong spouse, if you were something occurred that or you are perhaps filing because you're making the accusation against husband or wife, the temptation is to get revenge somehow through the process. And that can be a very expensive process for you if you go that route. And again, I'm the financial planner, so I'm always looking at the budget for a case, whether we're going to spend $8,000, $10,000, $100,000, and or more, because depending what's at stake, people may choose to spend the higher numbers. But what I like to make people aware of what the numbers might look like so they can actively choose to make decisions that structure the process that keeps within their budget rather than just taking whatever lifetime nest egg they've accumulated and spending it on the professionals necessary to come up with a divorce resolution. So that would be my two bits on top do's and don'ts for managing the cost of the process. So I think normally we would take questions here, but we are recording this as a podcast. And so I'll go ahead and invite our listeners to take their questions directly to us after this event. And each one of us can specify our URLs, where we'd like people to go. Mine is life-as-planned.com, where I have videos and articles and do-it-yourself, get-started kits for divorce, as well as prenuptial kits for people considering marriage. And I'm happy to respond to calls at Stratus Wealth Partners in Prescott, Arizona. Stephanie?
Sure. My website is willisonlawpc.com, and the PC is like professional corporation. So willisonlawpc.com on Instagram. I'm Prescott Family Law. And then I'm also on Facebook, just under Willison Law. And we just moved to our phones being answered pretty much all the time. You may not get me, but you'll definitely get somebody at 928-445-3534.
Again, it's David A. Snyder, CPA, .com is my website, David A. Snyder, CPA, .com. And my email is dsnyder141414, so 314s at gmail.com. And my phone number is 928-445-0104, extension 9. That's my business. So I really am glad that we did this.
This has been a great discussion and hosted, of course, by Women on Money, a community organization hosting talks by women for women on money-related topics. So David is our special guest today because he doesn't fit our gender specification, but he's very supportive of women. So that's why he's here. Check out our website links for the next two topics in our divorce series coming up in June, and we'll make them available as podcasts shortly thereafter. Feel free to contact us at the URLs we just provided. Thanks, David and Stephanie, for joining myself and our audience today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen and Stephanie.
Thank you.